may get into chapter 14 a little bit this morning as we go verse by verse. We got to the passage. It's probably the most discussed. Hollywood movies being made about it for years now concerning the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, and so forth. Don't get your theology from Hollywood. Amen. Somebody asked me, said, did I see that? What was the name of the film? The Omen, I guess. I believe Gregory Peck was probably in it. And supposedly they adopted or had a son, and he was the Antichrist, and they had the mark back here in the hair of his head. I think I told you I used to set Stephen on my knee there, and we watched some of that program, and time to time I'd joke with him that I'd found the mark in the back of his head. And he never learned to like that too much. But I was basing on the fact he was born on the September the 13th. A little old man there. I'm playing around with that. But anyway, don't get your theology from Hollywood. They do anything to make a dime, amen, or a dollar. And perverting the Bible has been a major thing with them for many, many years. Sometimes they get a little bit of the truth out there. The sad truth is that so many folks know so little about God's Word that they're so easily deceived with so much. And that shouldn't be, especially with Christians and we that claim we're Bible believers. Test everything by the Word of God, amen? And you'll find out that a lot of tradition and a lot of modern things that are accepted, blamed on the Bible, are not Bible. And it's always wise to check things out. I ended up last week and ran out of time, and so I'm not going to do much more with it this morning. I just want to speak to it in general. Showed you something on the screen last week, showed you something concerning Bible codes. As soon as you mention Bible codes, a lot of folks put you in the crazy house, area. But generally, they don't understand what you're even meaning by it. Folks do misuse the Bible. They misuse it with superstition. They mix it. You go down to Haiti and places, you find that voodoo has got Bible mixed in it. Perverted, to say the least, interpreted wrong. You find that religion down there, the main religion, is mixed deeply with voodoo and that sort of stuff. But don't let that turn you off. Here's something if you can get a hold of. Some of the worst heresies have a little bit of truth in them. That's what makes them palatable, so to speak. My mother was great about perverting orange juice and Coca-Cola. She could pervert it with castor oil before you knew it. You would swallow that perverted thing thinking you was getting some orange juice or a Coke, and there's a whole lot of folks still swallowing stuff the devil puts in the spoon for them because there's a little bit of truth. That castor oil was not as much as the orange juice or the Coke, but I want to tell you it was more powerful than either one of them. And so it is today for a little heresy, a little falsehood that gets spread around. You got to watch out for that sort of stuff. And so when you mention something like Bible codes, that's voodoo to some folks. Let me say it can be misused and abused, and it is. So to speak, every Tom, Dick, and Harry, and I don't know whoever set those three names together, but can go around and create stuff like that. You got to watch for it. But there is some great truth. And what I showed you last week has already been shown on TV. Something I showed you was not on TV, in fact, not even in print, except I mentioned, and I don't want to mention his name now. You'll go to him, and he don't want to be bothered with it, I'm sure. But man in church, I think, first pointed out to me. And then I think one of the ladies told me Wednesday night, I guess it was, that she'd worked it out by hand and come up with the same thing. And you can work it out by hand, but it is work. You got to get it just right. Let me basically tell you what we're talking about. Some of you are into crossword puzzles. I'm not, but some of you are. And if you think that in your mind a little bit, as we showed you on the screen last week, what you really do is you take a portion of the Bible and you write it out on a sort of like a piece of grafting paper. You almost have to have grafting paper to make it work, because your little squares have to be something you can measure by. You take that and you set up a grid work, as it were. Let's say just in your mind you see a piece of grafting paper. Then you take the portion of scripture you're exploring and you put it on there, but you take the spaces out from between the words. So you got the letter in every little square, and you with no space like we normally put between two words. You also got to start it correctly and end it correctly with the Bible, and of course with new versions of the Bible and various printings of it. You can get messed up there also too. But what we showed you last week was out of the King James Bible. It was out of Revelation 13 where we were studying, where we had done that. And we found the interesting thing of some signs concerning the Antichrist. The Revelation 13 tells us he's going to be wounded with a sword, but he's going to live. Whether he dies and is resurrected, it don't say. Whether he just recovers from a deadly wound he should have died by. But whenever that happens, be he a political leader, religious leader, or whatever, it's going to put him into the public eye so big, it says the whole world's going to wonder after him. They're going to worship him. Now, we're not looking for the Antichrist. I think we're going to look down on him. I think he's alive now. I think the devil always keeps a man ready to incarnate, and I certainly believe he is, whether we know his name or not. I've ever heard of him. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. But anyway, it's always all right to watch the world scene and watch the political leaders and watch who's, we've all seen this. We've seen some crazy stuff. Right now, if they haven't called it off, there is a group of ultra-Orthodox Jews in New York City that's still waiting for their dead rabbi to rise from the dead. Rabbi Sennertsen up there in New York City, they were proclaiming him the Messiah before he ever died. And they had part of their group in Israel looking for him to leave New York and go over there. So when I was over in Israel, I saw the great big yellow sign up there in Hebrew. It took a little while to figure out what it was saying. But in Hebrew, it said the Messiah is coming. Big old yellow sign stretched across some buildings near the Wailing Wall. I got excited about it. I wanted to see if they knew something I didn't know. And I found out their Messiah was not mine. Mine is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is coming back, and he is coming over there. But they were looking for their rabbi from New York by the name of Sennertsen. He was about in his 90s then, I think, and feeble. And he'd finally kind of promised them he'd go over there. And they were proclaiming him the Messiah. But something got in the way of his trip. He died. He died just like any other man. And the Orthodox Jews, though, not to be outdone, declared he'd rise from the dead. Now, that's going to be something similar to the Antichrist. He's going to be wounded with a sword. Does he die and coming back? But he lives anyhow. He lives. And that living is going to project him into the spotlight like nothing else could do. And with that thought in mind, I talked to you a little bit about the Bible codes, and then we'll move on. We read here at the end of Revelation chapter 13, two beasts. One of them is a false prophet. That means he'd be religious. He points the world to worship the first beast, who will be the dead Antichrist. So in verse 12 of Revelation 13, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast. This false prophet now has the same power as the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, who would be the Antichrist, the man of sin, whose deadly wound was healed. So maybe he didn't die. Maybe he just should have died. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. So this is interesting, that he should speak, cause all that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, logically talking, we know, I've already talked to you about the holograms and how they can project a ghostly figure out there that looks like the man, that the man's in the back room or somewhere else. We've talked to you some about that. That's technology that is we have now and has even been used some. Why would he want to do that? Well, maybe if he lived through the first attempt, he didn't want to get assassinated again. I don't know. You just humanly make that kind of add up, that maybe he said, okay, I won't walk out there. That crowd tried to kill me that time. I'll stay back here and send my image out there. I don't know how they'll do it, but I do know the technology is available to do it now. And anyway, this is tribulation stuff. This is probably midway the tribulation. And when we speak of the tribulation, we're speaking of the seven-year period following the rapture of the church, the saints are being called out. Now, this is political because it's government, and it's going to have the power of government behind it to cause everybody to receive a mark. And that comes to the number of the beast as we read the last verses again. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. By the way, if the dollar fails and all the economy of the world breaks like many are believing it is soon, well, can't you see how the mark's going to come in? The number, you can't buy or sell without being in on the economic plan. And I'm not, you say, well, I better save my money. It won't do you any good if all you do is start the stove fire with it. I don't be pessimistic. I say, what do you suggest doing with it? Giving it to God? Well, there might not be a better plan than that. I'll tell you one thing, if it's hoarded in the backyard, it turns to be worthless, it'll still be worthless. I don't get off on that. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The only way a man can be numbered is by his name. And this is talking about his name here. And this, you can take most languages of the world, many of them anyway, not true in English. In English, we have ABC, we have 1, 2, 3. But many languages, the alphabet of the language also has a number value on it. And so the numbers are also connected, as it were, with the letters or the alphabet. That's true in Hebrew. And Greek's got a numerical value and some number of others. Latin, of course, has the number value. And we shared with you how that if you take the big Roman numerals and add up their value, it is interesting that they come out 666, which is the number of the beast. Now, in the Latin numbers, you don't have the vowels. The vowels don't count. But the big letters, what is it? L equals 50, is that it, I believe? And you know, you just keep on adding up all the big letters and you get 666. Is that something to do with it? I don't know. Some of the early church fathers thought so. But we do know that we are into the number world today. Not only do we have a numbered Social Security, we got a number at the bank, we got numbers. You ever read the newspaper? If somebody has an accident, they tell you how old he was in the first two sentences. You ever notice that? Numbers identify you. I kind of joke about it, you know. Bill Jones, 40 years old, ran into a tree, 100 years old. You know, you almost put a number on everything that you read there in the paper. But we're in the number age. We're in the chip age, and the chip is everywhere. The chip's in your car, the chip's in your phones, the chip's everywhere. And a lot of people are already wearing it under their skin as their identifying mark. There's medical chips in your pets, your animals, and a number of folks are doing it. It's being produced here in Florida. I showed you, and I'm reviewing now, I showed you in chapter 16 of Revelation, where the men that take the mark of the Antichrist, in verse 2 over there, they're going to have a grievous sore come on them. It sounds like that whoever took the mark got infected by it. As you read a little further over in chapter 16, we'll cover that more when we get to it. There's a company called Verichip Corporation. It was down here in South Florida, may still be there. And at the time, several years back, that I read about it, they were saying they had at least 2,000 people that had already taken the chip. So I guess for convenience sake, you go in the bank, show them your hand, and they got your number or whatever. But anyway, what was predicted in the Bible even 100 years ago, 75, 50 years ago, folks would say, how could that be? Now, you and I live in a generation that know how it can be. We know we're already seeing it, and another year, boy, the way things are moving, and most of the time there's such a credibility gap. You and I, as citizens of our government, we get it pretty late, if we ever get it at all. And it's pretty late coming. So there's always a gap. There's a credibility gap that you got to allow for. So there's things today that we probably cannot imagine that's already hooked up and running or is waiting in the wings to come out. Now, I want to go back and say just this about the codes. And I picked up something I'm going to read to you here on them. They've been believed in for a long time. We probably know more about them. Well, let me put it this way. They are more accessible today to common people that are computer-wise than they've ever been before. They started with the Jews. I don't know when the Jews first discovered it, but I do know you can go back as far as probably the 14th century, 15th century, and find out that Jewish rabbis were already wise to the fact there were some messages, what we would call hidden messages, in the Bible. And if you go, though, with me to the book of Daniel very quickly, we'll see a little prophecy concerning the knowledge of this end day that we're in. Go to the last chapter of Daniel, chapter 12, and pick up a verse that I really believe predicts the age we're in. And we've used it many times, and I hope you know about it. Daniel, book just before you get to Hosea, and that don't help you if you don't know where Hosea is. But anyway, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 or 4. Now, he's talking in the end time connection, because verse 2 is talking about a resurrection. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt, saved and lost there. Even though we know there's some other things that take place between those resurrections, we know that there's going to be a resurrection of the saved and the lost. Verse 3, and they that be wise, watch it now, what did that last verse of Revelation 13 said? Here is him that hath wisdom. Wisdom's involved in studying the Bible. Whether you ask God for it, as the book of James tells you to, whether or not you try to practice it. Here in Daniel, it says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness, that's soul winning, folks, they that turn many to righteousness, as the stars forever and ever. In other words, there's going to be a reward. We're going to shine in our brightness before the Lord for serving him. Then get on down to verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Daniel, he said, I don't want you to tell everything. Seal the book. Even to the time of the end. And there's going to be a time of the end. God said so. He said it in many places. Seal it up, he said, to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, when this was written, the book of Revelation was not written. Yet they fit hand in hand. And Revelation throws a lot of light on this. Now, Daniel was told to seal the book. Book of Revelation is not a sealing, but a revealing, an opening up. So you and I live in a time when God has opened up some things that was not even open to Daniel. To paraphrase Daniel a little bit, it said he had a headache over trying to understand these things. He didn't fully understand them all. But now, look at verse 4 again. The time of the end, many shall run to and fro. Never been a day like our day for travel, has it? We want to travel so bad we don't even mind the camera taking a picture of us without our clothes. Right? That's the only way you're going to get on with them big birds. About the only way. Unless you're a terrorist, they'll probably let you go around, but I'm being a little facetious. Not much. Not too much. Anyway, running to and fro, travel here and there. Knowledge shall be increased. The word knowledge here has never increased like it has today with the computer age. It's being passed over the wire. It's being passed over the internet. It's coming and going. You better watch out for what's true and false. Deception playing into it. But knowledge. Knowledge is bought and sold. There are companies that don't produce a product. You couldn't walk in and buy something they made in their store. But they sell knowledge back and forth. Just back and forth. Running to and fro as our age, knowledge increased. Now I say all that to say in the computer age, something has happened concerning what I'm saying here in Revelation 13 concerning Bible codes. The earliest rabbis would take a portion of scripture, maybe a book like the book of Esther, and they work out some things. Well, after World War II and Hitler and his Nazi henchmen were caught, they claim he's dead. We don't know for sure. I mean, he's probably dead, but now we don't know for sure. Did any of you see on the History Channel where the guy went into the Russian archives and brought out the skull that was supposed to be Hitler's, and it turned out to be a woman's? I'm not lying. Hey, that's been on there. Still on there. So what happened to Hitler? Stalin always, when he spoke of the death of Hitler, he said the myth of the death of Hitler. That was Stalin, the Russian ruler. He never believed himself that they actually had Hitler's skull. So there's a lot of, I saw what Hollywood movie made. Oh, come on. Leave all that stuff alone. But there's some mystery. There is some mystery. No doubt about it. Jews working out Bible code in the book of Esther in the 14th century wouldn't have known what it meant concerning some of those things. But after the Nuremberg trials after World War II, when the Nazi criminals were tried, Bible codes showed their names in the book of Esther. Remember the seven sons of Haman, how they wanted to exterminate the Jews, genocide, kill all the Jewish race? What did Hitler want to do? Genocide, kill all the Jewish race? Amazing the context, same. And they found all those names of the war criminals, Germany's war criminals, in the book of Esther. So when you say, well, nothing to the Bible codes, well, that's big old coincidence right there. Very, very big. And when it's done right, it's quite interesting. Now I'm going to read you something here out of a book, and this man's written two books. Others have written books on it. One that impressed me very greatly was an army engineer up in the highest echelons. He himself was a Jew, but he was not a practicing Jew. Do you understand? There are a lot of Jewish atheists. You know, there's a lot of Jews that don't practice Judaism, just like there's a lot of Baptists that don't practice Baptist church doctrine either. Amen. But you got all kind of people out there. And this particular engineer, and he wrote a book, and I can't remember the title of it, but somewhere in my archives I could dig it up. He wrote a book, and he put some big computers to work to test this theory of Bible codes and mathematically test it. And he's up there in the high brain level of mathematics. And maybe I'll look up that book for you, title of it. But the part I lacked was he admitted he was pretty much agnostic. But when that computer finally come out and plugged the final answer, and I think it took it 3 days, the test that he gave it, printing big, fast computer. And when he saw it, he said it had to be real. The government's, I can't call it this. Oh, great day. Anyway, one of the higher mathematic groups also tested it and put it out in their writing that they challenged to see if anybody could disprove it. equal distance sequence is the key that's generally used in Bible coding. Now, let me give you an explanation on that. If you took the grid that we talked about and you put a letter in every graph, little square on the graph page, and then you plug into the computer and you ask the computer to find a certain word at a certain distance between letters, maybe one letter, skip two. Find another letter, skip two. Find another letter, skip two. Find another letter and see what it spelled out. As kids, we've played games like that with various things, but to have an equal distance. In other words, don't just look for a letter, skip two here, skip three here, skip six. No, that's not fair. Equal distance sequencing is the key on it. Now, you can skip many words or many spaces, but when you finally find it, it's got to be an equal thing, if you find it at all. Now, they have put the computer to use, which is so much faster than a man trying to do something by hand. And they have come up with some amazing things. I mentioned to you other Sunday, they come up with finding the word Titanic, finding the Twin Towers being destroyed by the airplanes, and found a lot of that stuff in there. Say, why didn't they find it ahead of time? They didn't know what to look for ahead of time. Who knew the towers was fixed to have the planes flown into them? See? But after it happened, you know what to look for, and with enough searching, especially then when you go to the portion of the Bible, like the tower thing was found in the context of the end of days, where the scripture plainly says in English, the end of days. And then the towers being taken down by the airplanes was found in that context. Now, in Revelation 13, be a good place to look for the Antichrist, because what's the subject? The first and second beast. Be a good thing for somebody to deal with that. And I would challenge you to do it. Now, as far back as a man by the name of Isaac Newton, anybody remember Isaac Newton? As kids in school, you know, we saw him sitting under an apple tree and an apple fell on his head. That's a bunch of baloney. But that's what we were taught. He discovered gravity. I suspect everybody knew that what went up come down, that was gravity. You know, if you jumped off a building, you fell. That was gravity, that sort of stuff. But anyway, what they write in school books, often you better take with a grain of salt. My dad used to tell me that, and he was a principal of a high school when he told me that. I'd come home, I'd say, Daddy, he said, oh, son, just take that book with a grain of salt. He had some wisdom there. Truth is, Isaac Newton believed, he was very much a Christian, very much believed as you and I do about the second coming of Christ and everything. He was a smart man, though. They give him credit for calculus. You'd think he could have skipped that, but algebra and all that business. But anyway, he's really made some big discoveries. He wound up being the head man over the treasury, what we would call Fort Knox in America, over England's monetary stuff. He was a smart man. I'm going to read what this author wrote about Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton said, a cryptogram set by the Almighty, the riddle of the Godhead, the riddle of past and future events divinely foreordained. That's what Isaac Newton called the Bible code. 300 years ago, Newton, the first modern scientist, the man who discovered gravity, figured out the mechanics of our solar system, who single-handedly invented advanced mathematics, searched for hidden code in the Bible that would reveal the future of mankind. For more than 3,000 years, ever since there's been a Bible, people have believed there was something hidden in it. Great secrets that were known only to the high priest. New revelations that could be found using some historic formula, some form of magic, some new science. But it remained for a Russian immigrant to Israel, Elihu Rips. Elihu in Hebrew is, in English, that's Elijah. Eliyahu, that's the way they say it. Eliyahu Rips, a mathematician freed from a Soviet political prison to find the code that had eluded everyone for millennia. Rips succeeded because he had one essential tool that everyone before him lacked, a computer. The Bible code had a time lock. It could not be opened until the computer was invented. That's true for the big majority of it, but men were doing it. Some rabbis was doing it way back in the 14th and 15th century. It was designed apparently by some intelligence that could see the future to be open now. That much seemed clear. The code could have been designed to be found by Newton 300 years ago, or it could have been designed to be found 300 or 3,000 years in the future by technology that would not exist until then. Instead, some intelligence that could see across time encoded the Bible in a way that allowed us to crack the code, and at this one moment in human history. That is why Isaac Newton could not do it, said Rips. It had to be opened with a computer. It was sealed until the time of the end. What was Daniel told? He was told to seal it to the time of the end. That's why I showed you Daniel 12:3, and believe that's a big prediction concerning the age we live in, the computer age, where the spread of knowledge and flying about so fast today. And of course, it's in the news. They got this guy arrested on some charge for exposing secrets and so on. I'm not going to open up that can of worms. You don't know what all's behind everything. But I'm simply saying the big crime today is not a Jesse James type bank robber. It's cyber crime. It's the computer age crime. And all of that is going to be a big argument for the mark to come in to try to stop some of the crime that's going on. About the time they think they have blocked a system, even our military secrets, about the time they think they've blocked it, somebody cracks it, opens it up again, and trouble starts all over. We are living in interesting times, folks. And believe in the Bible code or not, fact it's abused some and all that, I would agree with you. But I'm saying we are in that end of days time. And somebody that believes the Bible at all better take it seriously, because everything it's predicted is going to happen and come about just like God said it would. And if you don't get raptured out of here when the trumpet sounds with those that are saved, you're going to find yourself having to take the economic mark of the beast to find a way to eat and feed your babies. It's going to be a bad time. Going to be a really bad time. I suggest the best thing to do is get saved, and when the trumpet sounds, go up with the Lord and then look down on it like you're looking at a bad movie and not be down here participating in it. I hope you know the Lord Jesus there as you see.